There was support from across the political spectrum at the weekend for an election candidate who was subjected to personal abuse online. The DUP Upper Ban election candidate Carla Lockhart has thanked those who offered support. With me this morning are the newsletter's political editor Sam McBride. Good morning to you, Sam.
Good morning, Philip.
And the journalist Amanda Ferguson. Good morning to you, Amanda.
Good morning.
Now, this abuse, which we won't be repeating because it was pretty vile, it's nothing new. Why do you think there has been such a reaction to this, Amanda?
I think that people are sick of it. I think that people are not accepting of this kind of misogyny and sort of vitriol and really sort of nasty personal commentary. You know, certainly if you don't like a politician, challenge them on their policies at least. But this sort of recurring theme that people, it's open season on social media for people to be able to say what they want, really does need to be tackled, because it does nobody any service. It must obviously be very upsetting for the individual politician that it happens to.
You believe, though, this is something that it kind of originates more with men and is always aimed more towards women.
Well, it is, like, you know, it bears that out. You know, if you look at some of the recent research, whenever male politicians are being called out, they're usually being called, like, frauds and liars. And whenever it comes down to women, it's usually focused on their appearance or their intelligence. And I think that's part of a wider problem in society, where women's currency has kind of always been wrapped up in how they appear. So there definitely is, like, of course, abuse of people across the board, but there's definitely a sort of misogynistic element to it whenever it comes to women in any sort of public role. It's not just politicians. It happens to any woman that kind of raises her voice or has any sort of public platform. You know, I don't get too much of it about my appearance. I get the odd thing about my weight, but like I have a 1,000 accounts either blocked or muted on social media.
Say that again. You have 1,000 accounts blocked or muted.
Yeah, I have about 600 blocked and about 400 muted.
That's incredible. That number.
Yeah.
Really is that all for very extreme comments? Is it all for quite vile messages that people send you?
Some of them have been threats of violence, threats of rape. Some of them have been sectarian. Some have been misogynistic. And I've actually taken to whenever I see other accounts abusing other people, I just do a preemptive strike and block them before I would even have to deal with them. But I'll give you like a basic example of something that happened to me yesterday. I was doing the paper review on Radio Ulster on the new Sunday with Durable programme.
Yes.
And I'm a self-employed person. You know, before I came on air here today, I was like, you know, tweeting, you know, I'll be chatting to Vinny about this shortly. If people who follow me want to tune in and listen to it, you know, that's great. You're not obliged to do it. So I posted yesterday about, you know, I'll be on the paper review, you know, coming up where, you know, we're going through the papers, having a cup of coffee here on Sunday morning. And a man wrote underneath the post, oh, look at me, I'm on the radio. And I replied to him saying, you do realise that this is my job, like this is how I make a living, you know. Like, I think there's something about social media that people feel that women should be seen but not heard, or that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, they would rather that you hated yourself than you were trying to promote yourself or you were trying to promote your work. It's really bizarre.
Well, Sam McBride, you tweeted about the abuse directed at Carla Lockhart. Even by the sewer-like standards of social media, the number of vile comments here about Carla Lockhart's appearance is unusually depressing. Have you had to block many people on your own accounts, as Amanda has?
I maybe adopt a slightly different approach to this. I generally don't block people unless they're incredibly extreme in terms of what they're doing. You know, I do believe in the principle of free speech unless people are threatening violence or something of that nature, where clearly it's crossed a very very serious line. But I generally just ignore a lot of this stuff. I think there is a more significant issue here when it comes to women in the social in the public eye. I think that is definitely the case. I was struck and I was profoundly depressed by what happened on Friday night, because it was just the scale of it and the overwhelming, exclusively focused element of this on Carla Lockhart's appearance. There was no debate about her policies. There was no debate about whether she was the right candidate or anything that was particularly relevant to this election. It was all about her appearance, and it was, you know, it was very obviously designed to be cruel. It wasn't people being flippant. It wasn't people who maybe weren't being politically correct but were quite innocent. This this was deliberately calculated to try to bully her effectively. I mean, it was school playground stuff, but by adults in many cases. And in some cases, it was obvious that this was not just by men, it was by women in some cases. So it's perhaps more concerning, I think, than if it was simply about men who hate women or whatever. It's actually about cruelty, I think, between people.
Just to quote from the newsletter, Carla was talking about this, and she said, "It will not break me, but it is my family I feel for more than me." I guess, you know, when you read comments online about someone else that you care about, that's going to be very difficult as well. She goes on to say, when people start to attack your looks, they have lost the argument. But I guess the issue with that is once you've read that comment, no matter how tough you are, it's difficult. I mean, it's a very personal issue, as you said. It's not about policy. It's not about anything political. It's a very personal thing when someone is basically using playground comments to attack how you look. 030 30 80 55 55. Sam, do you think that there is a misogyny thing here? You think it's, I know you mentioned it's women as well as men, but do men really feel that they have the place to do so, and quite often in those anonymous online accounts where they don't use their name, they don't use their own picture?
I think the honest answer to that is that when it's an anonymous account, it's very difficult to know whether it's a man or a woman or anything else.
I sometimes get the vibe, though, that it's a man. I get a bit of grief. Everyone does to an extent. And I adopt the thing of muting people, because if you block them, I feel that they maybe will realise they've annoyed you. Whereas if you mute them, then they're talking away to themselves and have no idea.
That's right. And I think the really serious element of this, aside from the personal element of it, aside from the mental health of people who are subjected to this, aside from all of that sort of obvious stuff, the really significant element of this in a political sense is that we are trying to attract good people to politics. It's not for me to say whether any particular politician is good or bad, but we're trying to get people into politics, and people from business backgrounds, people from all sorts of backgrounds who have got something to contribute to your society. It is incredibly difficult for anybody looking in here, not just for Carla Lockhart, but for anybody who's observing this and who is thinking about standing for election, who's thinking about joining a political party. I think that is why this is so serious. It's not simply about what she is subjected to, as grotesque as that is. It's about a much wider issue for society, about putting some sort of parameters here, where this is not about people who are going a little bit over the line, or people who are saying something that's maybe crass, or that somebody's thin-skinned. This is deliberately calculated to try to bully her, presumably out of politics, but certainly to try to undermine her in a very personal way.
So what can be done? What should be done, Amanda? For example, we've had the discussion and argument before. Should you have to produce ID before you can sign up to a social media account? So therefore, the anonymous thing is harder to do. Should the people that do this be named and shamed?
I think that the social media companies definitely need to do more to tackle this. And I think that one of the failings that is borne out again in the evidence is that it's not taken seriously, the number of times that people have to report online abuse before something's actually done about it. And I think that there's too much reliance on algorithms and, you know, bots, and not actually human people looking at comments, looking at the context of the comments. And, you know, of course, everybody receives abuse of some description on social media, but it's wrong to say that it doesn't have a gender slant on it. The majority of the people that are being abusive are men, and the majority of these sort of personal comments about appearance are targeted towards women. That's borne out in the facts over and over and time again. And it perhaps shows you something about social media that Sam hasn't had to block 1,000 people online, because I know that I'm not alone in terms of local journalists here facing the same thing.
But obviously some people will deal with it differently than others, and some people will find it harder to swallow than others, and that is not me trying to say that there's anything wrong with being offended by people saying something nasty or vile about you online. There will be some, Amanda, that will look at this and will say, and I don't mean this particular situation, but they'll say, if you're running to be a politician, you've got to be tough, and you've got to be able to, you know, fight off a lot of difficult situations, and this might be one of them. What do you say to those people?
But I've had this discussion before around free speech. Free speech is of the utmost importance. You know, we're journalists, of course, we believe that. But with it comes a responsibility. It doesn't give you sort of carte blanche to indulge in hate speech or like serious abuse that has no purpose. You know, fair enough, challenge people, and you know, we're all up for robust debate, but there's a difference between that and someone being nasty and being abusive, and you wouldn't put up with that if someone was standing in front of you, and someone wouldn't be allowed to speak to you like that.
So people wouldn't generally wouldn't speak to you that to your face. They do it when it's anonymous, when they know you don't know who they are, you can't see their face or trace them in any way, and people are much braver in that way.
Yeah, and it speaks as well to the issue that we have in society, where because we're living in this online world, and because a lot of our business is conducted on the internet, on forums, live streams, all those sort of things, that we have to start thinking properly about our relationships, about our online relationships, how young people are trained to deal with this. You know, like I'm a 40-year-old woman, I can take a bit of stick, but imagine you're 14, you know, you're a young girl. Like, these are the sort of things that could trigger eating disorders, can trigger self-harming, all of those sort of things that young people, because, you know, they're vulnerable and they still have this online presence.
Sam, when we were talking about the UUP, of course, their new leader, Steve Aiken, he was tweeting support towards Carla, the misogynistic abuse that Carla from those hiding behind anonymity must be strongly condemned by all. He's also calling for Twitter and Facebook to name and shame the perpetrators. Do you think that's likely, Sam, or is that just very unlikely to happen when it comes to them actually highlighting who is trolling people online?
Well, I think as things currently sit, that's almost certainly not going to happen, because this is a worldwide problem. It has been happening for years, and that has not been happening even in cases which are more serious than this, unless it gets into a court setting, in which case somebody would, of course, be unmasked. But I do think that there's a significant problem with people who have hidden behind anonymity. I'm always reluctant to say that people should not have the right to be anonymous in certain circumstances, because there are people who are whistleblowers, there are people who have got very legitimate public interest reasons for that, and concern about who they are. But that is not the case here. And people, when they have the responsibility of people knowing who they are, as you said there, they would not come up to you in the street and say some of these things. And so therefore, that is a particular element to this. But one positive element of this is that politicians, I've seen from all parties, every party,
across the board,
and that is not just perfunctory. I think there is a genuine empathy there among politicians. They get this, they understand this, and hopefully that leads to them leading their communities in all of the different aspects of Northern Ireland society to say, we don't think this is smart, we don't think it's funny, stop it now.
I guess, again, it comes to, there's one thing, people disagreeing with you, your views on something, if it's your political stance on something, and then making it personal. And quite often, other people that think it's okay to troll don't see a difference. You know, they might say, we don't like your policy and we think you're ugly or whatever. And they see that as the same argument, the same valid argument. Before you go, Sam McBride and Amanda, we mentioned Steve Aiken there, the UUP. He's now taken up the mantle as leader, and they've announced that they will also run in South Belfast. Your reaction to that, Amanda Ferguson?
Yes, well, I think that, you know, after the debacle with North Belfast and the Ulster Unionists receiving threats if they dare to stand a candidate against the DUP, Steve Aiken had to be seen to be putting somebody forward in South Belfast. And also, at the last Assembly election, you know, the Ulster Unionist candidate was within the shot of getting the last Assembly seat that went to the Green Party. And I think if they canvassed more on the ground, that they could have taken that seat. So I think that this is less about thinking that the Ulster Unionists can win South Belfast, and more about preparing for the next Assembly election, because it does seem to be in the constituency. It's a clear battle between Unionists voting for Emma Little-Pengelly and the emerging Remain candidate. You know, you would have to favour Claire Hannah in those circumstances.
A rocky start for Mr Aiken, Sam?
It's been a very difficult start. Most political leaders come in and have something of a honeymoon period. That is not going to happen for Steve Aiken here. He has done this massive U-turn. It's clear that he is pursuing now a policy in which he does not believe this idea of standing aside for unionists and for the DUP, in fact, in some seats. In that one seat at this point, and possibly he doesn't seem to have ruled out conclusively doing that in East Belfast. Once you've accepted the principle of that in North Belfast, then it's really just an argument as to how far or how widely you extend that. And so therefore, standing in South Belfast is I think probably unlikely to change things there. I've spoken to senior people in the DUP who basically, as soon as the pro-Remain pact was agreed to support Claire Hannah. They thought that that seat had gone, regardless of what the Ulster Unionists did. I think it's much more significant what he's done in North Belfast and potentially in East Belfast. But these things can play both ways. I know that there are people in the DUP who look at East Belfast and say that while some Unionists want to see Unionist unity, they want to see the Ulster Unionist Party stand aside if there's any chance that Naomi Long could take that seat. There are others who think that actually having a Unionist pact drives people to alliance. It actually helps them. It gives this sense that there is almost an unfair advantage, or unionism is trying to change the rules or something of that nature, and that actually helps Naomi Long. So there will be different schools of thought there, but I think that in South Belfast this will not have much of an electoral impact, but it will give the DUP something of a stick to beat him with in that constituency.
OK. Sam McBride and Amanda Ferguson, thank you both very much.